turn to the chapter which we read in the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 2. We shall read again verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. With the Lord's help, we may consider for a brief time Christ's faithful soldiers. Paul addresses these words to Timothy, who is a minister of the gospel. Timothy is junior to Paul, and Paul is giving of his wisdom, gained, of course, out of the scriptures, but also by his own experience, to Timothy, who has begun the work of the ministry. Yet when we read these words, speaking of good soldiers of Christ, they are applicable, are they not, to all of the Lord's people. There is a great spiritual conflict which goes on in this world. There is this warfare which is unseen by those who are of the world, but known to the Lord's people. Paul speaks of principalities and powers. They are ranged against the church and against sincere believers. And we have to engage in that spiritual combat. And we do so because we belong to Christ. He has his church in this world, and his church is an army. And every member in the body of Christ is a soldier of Christ. And we are to be willing soldiers. We haven't been conscripted. We have willingly engaged, enlisted on the side of Christ among his troops. We recognize him, do we not, as the captain of our salvation. And we are glad to be on his side and to have a work and a witness with respect to his cause. So we read here of soldiers of Christ, and that is what we are if we are among his people. Spiritually, we are soldiers in the army of the Lord, and that while we're in this world. Here is the field of combat. When we depart this world, the conflict ends. We enter into that perfect rest of heaven. There we may lay down our weapons, because there will be no foe. We will be in that perfect state of glory, where we desire to be, and where God wills that his people shall be, even as here they were soldiers, and they fought the good fight of faith. Christ's faithful soldiers. And there are three things that we may consider with respect to this subject. Firstly, how Christ's soldiers are known. A soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, many may say that they belong to the church, that in that sense they belong to Christ. That is their view. Somehow there is an advantage for them through their membership of the church in this world. Some way they think Christ is on their side. But do they evidence that they are truly on his side? How do you know a soldier? soldier has a uniform. It marks him out as a soldier, but that is his calling, and it even identifies the army in which he serves. Spiritually, Christ's soldiers have a uniform. And that uniform is the uniform of righteousness. And we speak of Christ's mediatorial righteousness. His obedience as the appointed mediator. His perfect obedience. And that righteousness is reckoned to his own when they are enabled to believe in him. And they wear this righteousness. It is a robe that clothes them and covers them. And we speak of an alien righteousness. That is to say that we are justified by the righteousness of Christ alone, not by any works, any deeds of our own. It's all of Christ, all of his obedience, and we have this robe. Spotless, seamless, perfect, pure white, speaking of that which is acceptable to God, in conformity with his law, pleasing to himself. This is our spiritual livery. And we may say it's unseen, it's unrecognized by the world. It is seen by God, however, and this righteousness is on each and every one of God's people. Having this righteousness, being justified freely by God's grace, through faith alone in Christ alone, we should practice righteousness. There should be sanctification of life. There should be that ongoing change wrought by the Holy Spirit in our heart. Our hearts being purified by faith in Christ. Purified by his blessed, powerful Spirit. Working in us and applying to us the benefits of what he won for his people on the cross. Those who are justified, acquitted by God, have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they are bound to lead holy lives. That is always the complaint against the pure gospel of grace. You say you are saved by Jesus Christ. You say that you are saved, whatever your past, whatever your failures in the present, however you live from now on, because of Christ. We are saved because of Christ, and only because of Christ. But those who are saved have that new heart in which dwells the Holy Spirit. And by the Holy Spirit, they have the desire and the will and the aim to glorify God, to please the one who gave himself so fully and so lovingly for their soul's salvation. The Christian life is a life of gratitude. It's a life of praise to God. It's an offering to the Lord. Are we not told that in Scripture? To present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, indeed body and soul. We offer ourselves daily, hourly, moment by moment, to the Lord. That our lives would indeed be taken by him and used by him for his enduring praise. even as he enables us, by his powerful grace, to die to sin and live to righteousness. Those who are righteous, more and more do righteousness. And they are always under Christ's authority. They learn that. They always are to obey Christ and his orders. And not the orders of men when these are in conflict with the orders of Christ. Never any ground for disobedience to our Lord and Saviour. Not only a uniform, but armour. The armour of God. And we have a list of the parts of the armour of God in Ephesians and chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he names them. And he speaks of being girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. These things we are to have on. And we have them on by faith in Christ. And we are to make good and conscious use of these pieces of armour. And yes, of the sword of the Spirit. That's a weapon that we are to use aggressively. Because the lie must be fought. The devil is abroad in the world. And the devil has planted the lie in the minds of men. And those who are in an unconverted state, they're still believing the lie. The lie takes many forms. It's the lie that there is no God. It is the lie that man is all. It is the lie that one can save oneself. It is the lie of every false religion, every false philosophy. It is the lie that there is in the end no accountability, no day of judgment, no heaven, no hell. And how do you fight that? With the sword of the Spirit, the word of truth, the word we have in the Holy Scriptures. Christ also gives his soldiers a banner. It is the banner of truth. And when you have a banner as an army, something you rally to, you gather around it, you hold it up so all can see it, and you defend it. And the worst thing is, if that banner is lost, it is captured by the enemy and they trample it under their feet. And we must have that regard for the truth. Truth is sacred. The Holy Scriptures, God's eternal truth. And we're all to have it in our hearts. And it should shape our thoughts and mold our characters. It should give us strength and guidance as we walk through the wilderness of this world and as we engage with our spiritual foes. We are to hold it up as Christians and especially ministers preaching it and living according to it. That is the best commendation of the truth of the word of God Not simply to be able to quote it, but to live by it. You're saying to the world, this is the most important thing for me. This beloved book, God's seal is upon it. This is how he would have men live. This is how I, by his grace, will live to his glory, following the steps of Jesus Christ. How Christ's soldiers are known. They have a uniform, his righteousness. They have armor, God given, the various pieces of it. They hold aloft the banner of his truth. Then how Christ's soldiers must serve. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It is an intriguing call and command to endure hardness. And we could understand that easily with regard to the soldiers of this world. But what does it mean for the Christian, Christ's faithful soldier? Literally, it is to suffer evil. And to do so cheerfully, joyfully, looking to the Lord, who is the Lord of providence, looking to him who sends these things, these trials, these difficulties, these afflictions, that he might give us upholding and sanctifying grace. Hardness. We may speak of adverse providences, things that come against us, things that we find troubling and worrying, and which cause us suffering of one kind or another. We wonder why. And we wonder what the end of such a thing will be. But then we recognize the Lord has sent it. And the Lord always means it for good. And if there is opposition, enmity, hatred, well, we know Christ experienced that himself. And he told his disciples that they would experience the same. And it's all part of a conflict. You cannot be a soldier and never go into battle. You cannot be a soldier and never suffer a wound. It's bound to be some hurt, some suffering. With the Christian, there is this, and it is very important. When adverse providences, when afflictions come to those who are not believers, those who are of the world, then these things tend to make them more hardened within in their attitude to God. These things tend to confirm them in their unbelief. And they say to themselves, if God existed, this good God of which Christians speak, then such things would not happen. I would not experience these things. God would prevent such things. And there's a hardness growing in their heart. For the Christian, who in the time of difficulty calls upon God for his help, for his strength, for the ability to bear with the difficulty, rather than become embittered, rather than shake the fist at God, so many do in our day, there is a meekness, that precious grace and fruit of the Spirit which God produces in His own, there is a resignation. It's not the resignation of the person who thinks, well, whatever happens, happens. It's the resignation and the sweet resignation of the child of God submitting to the will of the Father, our Heavenly Father, who has only ever shown us good and ever will, and who loves us with an everlasting love. And if He sends these things, if He sends hardness, well then, we bless His name and we praise Him and we give thanks that we are spared so much. Many, many things that we could be sent, we could suffer, we do not. And that is the Lord's goodness. He knows what His people are able to bear. And do we know that with the help of His grace, we may be able to bear very much more than we might imagine? It is for the Lord, in His great wisdom, to determine what is best for each and every one of His own. In an army, you have different ranks. You have those who are leaders. And if they are leaders, they should be leading by example. Christ did that. Christ never calls His people, His soldiers, to engage in anything, to endure anything that He did not Himself. And the leaders, well, they are in the heat of the battle. And they may experience more hardness. And to some extent they've been proven before. And the Lord has worked in them a character whereby they are steadfast. And they're able to stand in the evil day. And they have a certain experience. They know the enemy and how the enemy comes. They're aware of his subtleties. They're not ignorant of his devices. And so the Lord has placed them nearer the front of the battle. And others are behind. They're more novices. And they have much yet to learn. But they will by and by become battle-hardened. And they will, by the grace of Christ, be able to stand and to war a good warfare, trusting in their captain. In every army, there are soldiers who are loyal and those who may be disloyal. We read here of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That is what we ought to be. And that is what the true members of the body of Christ are. But when you think of the visible church, there are soldiers who are perhaps disorderly and they do not obey the word of God as they should. And in any army there must be discipline for the good of the army, that it maintain itself as an efficient fighting force. If there is disorder in the ranks, it has an effect upon the whole army and its ability to engage the enemy. You can see that in Israel. So often when Israel went into battle and trusting in the Lord and those who were at the helm the king calling upon God, the prophets calling upon God, and even the leaders of the army doing likewise. For his help, for his guidance, Israel knew good success. Think of Joshua and the war and the battles that were necessary for Israel to occupy the promised land. But they weren't always successful. Sometimes there was sin in the camp. Sometimes the soldiers, as it were not in the right spirit. They were not having on the whole armor of God. Above all, they were not trusting in the Lord himself to fight their battles, to enable them to use their sword and their shield, and to give them good success. Discipline is necessary. And for the soldiers to always have in mind the captain, Jesus Christ, and to remember his victory at Calvary as the great seal for the church upon her victory, which he has in Christ. And every true believer, the Lord has won the final battle. He triumphed on the cross. He defeated Satan and every other foe. He dealt with sin. He dealt with death. And in Christ, we also triumph at the last. You can have soldiers who desert. Literally, they flee the battlefield. They run away. That can be very discouraging for any army. And there are those who renounce their profession in Christ. And we pray for such, that if they are the Lord's, and in a moment of weakness, in a time of crisis, they've gone back upon their profession, that the Lord would restore them. But we recognize that some who were in the church and appeared to be on the side of Christ never were. There was no saving change. There was no grace. No new heart. They're casualties. They are permanent casualties. They are lost. And that is a warning to us all to maintain our trust in Christ, to put him first, and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and to keep on our armor. And then finally, how Christ's soldiers will be rewarded. And this for our encouragement. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The need is to endure. And we have that in so many places in Scripture. Those that endure to the end shall be saved. And those who are the Lord's people shall endure to the end. His grace will see to that. And we have a precious promise in our chapter. This faithful saying, verse 11, for if we be dead with him, Christ, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And especially, if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And believers are dead with Christ, dead to sin, dead to this world, dead to self, alive unto God, and living in union with Christ, the true vine, and we branches in him. And it is by abiding in the vine, and that is saving faith, that we shall endure, and endure hardness, all the afflictions, all the opposition, all the harm, the suffering. Christ will sustain us, and the life he has given to us shall never be lost. And if we suffer, we shall reign with him. We reign now with Christ by his grace reigning in our hearts. Can you say that? That Christ has conquered your heart and Christ reigns in your heart in this gracious way, so that you do, by and by, grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And there is a reigning to come in heaven. And that reign is the enjoyment of all that pertains to the state of glory. The end of all suffering. The end of every affliction, the end of this conflict. We have the words of Christ to the angel of the church in Smyrna. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And that word came to all the members of the church there. And it was for those who were truly the Lord's, to encourage them in a time of persecution. And the same word comes to God's people in our day. We are called to be faithful, not just when times are easy, but when times are hard. And will we not all acknowledge that times presently are hard, and they may get harder yet? Stick close to Christ. Hold him fast in the embrace of faith. Look to him as your captain, your Saviour, who is well able to defend you and to bring you through every difficulty and against all opposition into heaven to be with himself. And we have also those words in the parable of the talents, and they are words which Christ will speak to his faithful soldiers on the day of judgment. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What blessed words they are, given to soldiers, but we must note, faithful soldiers who are servants because they owe all to Christ, and gladly they serve him, and he is their Lord, their only Lord. To him they give their loyalty. Well, we must endure hardness. And God's grace is sufficient. And there's no better place to be than in the conflict. Because all the Lord's people, in some way or another, will know the conflict. An ungodly world. The powers of darkness. And the flesh, the sinful flesh within. But rejoice. Christ has overcome them all. And the victory he will give to his own, to the full, when they come to the end of their course here. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O blessed God, we thank thee for the wonder of thy salvation and for the privilege of being soldiers of Christ. And may we be faithful soldiers. May we not flee from the battle. May we hold our position. May we be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Keep us then. Defend thy cause, and grant that thy church would be going forward and winning victories under her Lord. Hear us and forgive our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.